Well, here we are. I'm really excited to be here, and I know you guys are too. I'm so glad that you showed up tonight and you didn't stay home and watch Cub games. I know that was a temptation for some of you. It wasn't a temptation at all for some of you. I know that as well. I just want to start by just saying, hey, there's some really cool things happening, some really amazing things happening. And a lot of you don't even know this, but we have ministries in the Philippines that are happening. And some of us are actually going to go to the Philippines. That's pretty awesome this next year. And we're going to get together up here in the front afterwards and talk just a little bit. But one of the things about the Philippines that's pretty cool, this week we just had a couple more baptisms. And something that we get to celebrate here and around the world is this idea of surrender. And baptisms are happening. People are coming closer to Jesus. I know there's lots of cool conversations that I'm hearing about from you. And that happens because we're making this a priority in a lot of different ways. And one of those ways is through giving. And so we're just going to continue to make that a priority. We're going to pass these KFC buckets at this time. And don't forget, that opportunity is on our app, too, if you just follow the prompts. Because we would love to have that regular giving. The other thing I wanted to mention to you guys is that I'm kind of tired of hearing myself talk. I don't know about you guys, but I've preached every single week up to this point, which is very rare for me at this point. Usually I've had a couple people step in. It's very important to me that you guys get to hear other voices. And we have Phil and we have Robbie and we have Ben slated to be speaking at different points. And we thought about it at the beginning of the semester of where it would best fit for them to speak. But I think it's also important occasionally for us to get a completely outside voice to come in and share with us. And that's what's going to happen next week. I'm going to be gone. And a friend of our ministry, a lot of you guys know, Charlie Welke, he will be here to preach. And so make sure that you're here for that. It's going to be good. We'll finish up this series. And the week after that, I've never really have done this before, I don't think, is to give you guys a little bit of a calendar reminder. Mark your calendar, bring a friend. October 24th, 2 weeks from tonight, will be an encounter first. Something that's never happened before, and our lips are sealed. I'm not going to give you any hints. There's going to be something you're going to want to be here for. October 24th, 2 weeks from tonight. Not able to tease you next week, so I'll tease you tonight. 2 weeks from tonight. All right. Let's pray, and let's invite Jesus into this moment, into this place. Jesus, I think you got some really big things for us to do tonight. Really big things for us to lay down and let you do, actually. And so I would just ask that you would help us to be fully present, to identify what it is that we need to let go of and to let you be victorious in. We're expecting tonight that you will be the king and that you'll show us victory. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You need to know something about me. Some of you know this. If you know me very well, you know this about me. I am a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I'm a big Michigan State fan. And Michigan State football, for years and years and years and years, was known as basically what the Cubs have been known as for many years, the lovable losers. That's what we were known for. And we just had this idea that we always had these teams that underachieved, and we would have all this talent, but then we would always lose the big one. And the one place that's probably the most intimidating place is what I would call evil. I know some people might say that's extreme, but in my mind, the University of Michigan is like, ugh, because they tore my heart out so many times growing up. And about 9 years ago, there was a game where we had the lead, and they came back, and they won, and they just took it from us. And after the game, one of the players was interviewed, and he said, and it's very famous, some of you guys in the sports world, you know this quote, is he said, it's like playing our little brother. And so they got this reputation, Michigan State was like the little brother, that they would just kind of let you kind of get close, and then they'd just snap it from you, and then we would lose. And that's really how it felt. And even as a Michigan State fan, that's how it felt for me. And we ended up getting a new coach that year, and we went into Michigan that next year again, and I heard on the radio, because I listened to sports radio, this idea that Michigan would always come out strong. And I don't know if you know how intimidating the University of Michigan's football stadium is. It's the biggest stadium in the country. 115,000 people or more that would just sit and scream at you as you came into this place. And it was so intimidating. And throughout the talk radio week, they kept saying, if they can just ride out the storm. Because Michigan's going to come out strong, and it's going to be a lot of emotion, and that crowd's going to be in it. And if they can just ride out the storm, maybe at the end we could squeak it out. And so that was the question. On the field, I'm watching this on TV. They bring this new coach out. He's on the University of Michigan's field in the center of 115,000 screaming fans against him. And the interviewer puts this microphone in his face about, do you think you can ride out the storm? And he says, you know, it's funny you say that, because in the locker room I just talked to the men and I told them we have a choice. We can ride out the storm or we can be the storm. They chose to be the storm. And we're going to come out and win. And he went back to the sidelines and we came out and we kicked Michigan's butt. And it was beautiful. And we have won 7 of the last 8 years in Michigan, and we have become the big brother. This year's a little different. Michigan's going to probably kick our butt in a few weeks. I know this, all right? I'm not living in a fantasy world. But there is something about that attitude of not riding out the storm, but being the storm. And I think that that's kind of what's so exciting about this whole Cubs thing that's going on right now. They've been the team that's like, well, maybe if they just hold on, maybe if they just ride the storm. They're like, no, this year, our pitcher is going to hit a home run. Some of you know this. In a very crucial point in the game. And it's like this is their giant. The Giants are their giant. And tonight we're going to talk about the most famous giant story that we have in the Bible. Before we get there, it's going to be the story of David and Goliath. And I've preached on David and Goliath a number of times, and there is this temptation, and I could do this, and it would be right to name Goliath as being Satan. I could name Goliath as being the part of you that won't let anything else win, like the self. You know, God says sometimes our self is our biggest enemy, and so we need to crucify ourself. I could talk about that. But tonight, I just really want to talk about something much more tangible. What is the thing that's a giant in your life, as tangible as you can make it, that stares you down every morning and talks trash to you? What is the giant in your life? I really don't want to get into metaphors. I really don't want to get into things that are far away from the tangible. I want to talk about the real stuff tonight. And I want you to identify that tonight. For some of you, that thing that stares you down every morning is yourself. It is the mirror, and it is body image. For some of you, it's body image that stares you down and is your giant. For some of you, it is insecurity of some other kind that's just always, always there. For others of you, it's pornography. You can't shake it. It's just in your face, and it's so easy to be accessed, you can't get away from it. It's your giant, and it talks trash to you every single day. For us to really get the fullness out of tonight, I need you to identify your giant. Maybe you've got a couple of them. We just spent some time, Ben just set this up perfectly, that we sang some songs of truth. God really is on his throne. He really is able. He really does have mighty power, and he really is the God of the universe that cares about you, and we just sang that truth, and it is true. I'm telling you, it is true. True, true. And yet you have a giant, don't you? And the tempting thing for me to do is to say, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to excuse the giants from our life, and we're going to put them outside in the door mentally, And what we're going to do right now is we're just going to have our time with God, and we're going to fill ourselves up, and then good luck when you get out the door. No, not tonight. Tonight, I want Jesus right now, the God of the universe, firmly in your seat with you. And that thing, that giant that you've been trying to push out of your mind, that you've been trying to put in the hallway, that you've been trying to just like, hey, not now, I want you to invite him in. That thing that's just annoying you, that's gnawing at you, that giant that's in your life, I want you to bring that in the room too and put that in your lap as well. And it's awkward, isn't it? There's a little bit of a wrestling match, like, where does Jesus sit and where does this thing sit? I want it to be awkward tonight. I want you to wrestle with that. I want you to hold both of these things. Because it is important that occasionally we have to have a fight. We have to have a battle. And sometimes we need to quit fooling ourselves, and riding out the storm just isn't good enough. Sometimes we have to be the storm. Sometimes we've got to let God be the storm. And tonight we're going to do that. We're going to let God be the storm with the giant that's in your life. Let's read this story from 1 Samuel. It says, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking. Let me set up. I got to set up a little bit of what's happening here. Goliath is the giant from the Philistines. He is this towering man who is the strongest and the best fighter they've got. And he comes out and he taunts these guys regularly. And the Israelites are scared in their boots. They don't know what to do. And David comes along. He's just bringing food to his brothers. And yet David is full of the Lord. David is full of the confidence of him being the mighty warrior. David has a glass half full mentality, and he's got his rose colored glasses, and it's like, God is awesome, and these are my people, and I'm here to serve them. And look at that guy over there who's talking trash. This isn't right. And this is kind of the scene that's going on here. And so as David is becoming more inquisitive about the scene that's there, it's starting to drive his older brother crazy. And you guys kind of can feel that. If you've got a younger brother or an older brother, you know the tension. You understand what's happening. Well, he heard him speaking with the men, and he burned with anger at him. And he asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle. Now, what have I done? Said David. Can I even speak? There's this the older brother, younger brother thing, huh? And he then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the man answered as before. And what David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. Saul's the king. And David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine, your servant. We'll go fight him. So Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the sheep with its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by the hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. And then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, and he put a coat of armor on him and bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on a sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he had no use for them. And I cannot go in these, he said, because I am not used to them. And so he took them off, and then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream. And he put them on in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. And he looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome. And he despised him. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to
to the birds and the wild animals. And I want you guys to stand for this next part. We're going to finish the story. And I would like us to let this resonate with you. That was the king. That was the king of the Philistines, the giant, the thing that speaks trash, that's talking down. And this is his response. And David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down, and I'm going to cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and to the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. And reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and he struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand. And he struck down the Philistine and he killed him. David ran, and he stood over him, and he took hold of the Philistine's sword, and he drew it from the sheath, and after he killed him, he cut off his head with a sword. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned, and they ran away. You can be seated. What do you believe? What do you really believe? Do you believe the Lord? Do you believe that he's a deliverer? Do you believe that he can conquer? Do you believe that he can win? Do you believe that he, not by sword, not by your might, not by you trying, but the Lord God Almighty, might just be able to defeat what's in your lap right now? Do you believe it? This entire army, was fighting on behalf of the Lord. They were Israelites. They had seen the miracles of the Lord time and time again, and yet this entire army had convinced themselves. They had convinced themselves that they were the ones that were oppressed, and they were convinced that they couldn't win. And isn't there something about surrounding yourself with a bunch of people that are just riding out the storm that ends up becoming contagious? And maybe you're riding the storm out with some of the people around you and being like, you know, we'll just try to get by. Let's just hold together as best as we can because the end of the year is coming and then we get to go off to our real world job and then things might be better. But right now, let's just ride out this year. I'm going to challenge you tonight that we might actually not ride out the storm, but that we'd be the storm. That God would do something miraculous within us, even tonight. That we'd let him fight a battle for us tonight. That we might let somebody new, young, and different come into our life, maybe a freshman into your small group, that actually says, I believe it. I believe God's going to do something great, and we let these people speak into our lives, and we let them stand up and be an example maybe to us, and then it starts to be contagious. Let's let the Lord do some fighting in our midst. Do you believe it? David didn't spend enough time to get indoctrinated. Did you notice this? He's this new kid coming in. Some of you might already maybe you are that new kid. And maybe you've become indoctrinated to something here at Encounter that might just be making you a little bit more vanilla than you want to be.
And we need to do some fighting. Let's let this be about the Lord and not about the culture that's around us tonight. That might be you. A couple of other points I've come up with here, this makes me think about. Seems like a lot of people were ready to jump in on David's side and to be like, hey, let me help you, let me counsel you, let me give you a tool, let me give you a spear, let me give you a sword, let me give you these things. And he's like, you know what? Can I just go out there and fight him? You know what? I'm just kind of bogged down. And maybe there's like, hey, let me give you a tool, let me give you a resource, let me give you a book, let me give you, you know what? Maybe we just let the Lord fight for us. Maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe it's as simple as us believing and doing something with it. The enemy is real and full of despise. Did you catch that part when Goliath is speaking into him? When Goliath sees what they have sent out to attack him, and he's so offended, am I a dog? And he looked at him and he said that it says that he was a little more than a boy and he was handsome. He was good looking. And something about that made him all the more angry and he wanted to kill him. He said, I'm gonna tear your flesh apart. I'm going to feed it to the birds. And then it says he cursed him. You guys ever been in a fight? You guys ever see a fight that's just ugly and every bit of anger comes out of these people beforehand and the cussing comes out as well? This is what's happening. Goliath is pissed. And he says, this is going to be a bad day for you, kid. There's something that Satan wants you to believe, and that is that he can't be beaten. And he has sent something to you, that giant that's in your lap, and it is staring you down. It stares you down every day. And the healthier you are, the more despised it is with you. And it's not going to stop. It's the nature of sin. It's not going to stop until it's consumed you. So let's understand something tonight. Satan's plan for keeps. This is a battle. And he wants to win, and it's to the death. And so if it's to the death, then we need to get our big boy pants on and we need to have a fight. But here's the key. It ain't your fight. I could rally us up and say, let's go change the world. I could rally us up and I could say, let's go out there and let's really be whole and wholesome and clean and pure this week. And isn't going to do a lick of good. The reality is less is more. And we've poured our souls out and we've listened to him talk to us. And I'm telling you tonight, sometimes God in the less is more is ready to fight a battle for you. And you need to quit thinking that it's your battle. You need to quit thinking it's your thing that you need to have victory over. It's God's thing to have victory over. And the less you have of you and the more you let him fight, you step back and you say, you know what, it's going to happen. Do you believe it? That's point one. Do you believe it? Point two, are you speaking it? Man, I get goosebumps when I listen to David's return trash talk. Did you guys get goosebumps? I'm going to read it again. You can stay seated, but I'm going to read it again. I just think David's trash talk scene here is awesome. And David said to the Philistine, in this tense, intense battle, where he's looking them in the face and they are ready to come to blows. And he says, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and to the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Isn't there something about
that speech that makes this story just come alive. That there's just no question of the intent of what's going to happen. There's no question that David is full of the Spirit and he just knows it's going to happen. He's less of him and it's all about God. Every bit of his trash talk is the Lord. And if he didn't say that, I think we might read the story differently. We might think, you know what, he just kind of had a lucky day or something. No, but you just read the story and it's goosebumps on top of goosebumps because you know he let the Lord fight for him. Here's my challenge for you. My question first and then my challenge. My question is, do you speak it? Do you believe it? Do you speak it? What are you saying? What are you saying when you get up in the morning and no one else is around and you look in that mirror and that same giant is staring you back, just like Goliath is staring down David? And as he looks you in the eye, whatever that enemy is, whatever that giant is, what are you telling him? What are you telling yourself about the truth of who God is that you just sang about, that Ben just led us through? What do you say? Speak the truth. And I'm telling you, when you speak the truth, you start believing it. And when you speak the truth, you start living it. When you speak the truth, the enemy starts backing down because the truth is the truth. And we need to speak it. And you might say, I feel kind of weird talking to myself. I know you probably do. But I'm encouraging you and challenging you that you need to talk to yourself, because if you don't talk to yourself, you listen to yourself. I'm going to say that again. If you don't talk to yourself, you will listen to yourself. And you know where that's gotten you. Let's speak the truth. Are you speaking it? Third thing, last point. Are you leaning into it? This requires a fight to the death. Are you leaning into it? Are you taking actions? Based in what you believe and based in what you speak, are you leaning into it? Are you taking actions? Are you bringing people along to help you along? Are you doing something to put parameters on your computer? What are you doing? What's your lean in? What's your active? What's your action point? Probably the part that's sometimes overlooked by a lot of people in this text is that the Philistine, this Goliath, starts walking. I mean, he's straight up mad, and he's walking to that line, and it says that David ran up to the line. What are you running to? What are you excited about fighting this week? What are you so sick of in your life that you're going to run to it and say, not today. I'm going to lean into it. Do you believe it? Do you speak it? Do you lean into it? I'm just going to close with a simple, simple metaphor for you. My kids at 2, 3 years old are sweet kids. They love everybody. Cordell was this kid. I know Cordell's here tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit about Cordell in a nice way. Cordell, don't worry. But he just had this love for everybody. But even the nicest and the most pure-hearted kids sometimes say things they shouldn't say when they go to grandma's house who has 9 dogs in the house, right? It's kind of a crazy house, and it's a little bit awkward, and I'm not really exaggerating. We have a grandma with 9 dogs in the house. And so as we're driving to grandma's house, and we were wanting to make sure that the kids are going to be acting in a way that I know is consistent with within their heart, because I know they believe in their heart that they love grandma. It might not be what comes out of their mouth when they get to grandma's house. And so as we're driving, this was something that someone helped us along the way, as other parents kind of help each other. We learned this little trick. about 3-4 miles away from the house, we would just practice what we're going to say when we see grandma. Has that ever happened to you? Did your parents do that with you too? Now, hey kids, in a little while, we're going to be at grandma's house. And when we go up to grandma's house, she's going to meet us at that door with a bunch of dogs. And what are you going to say? And they're like, you're going to say, hi, grandma. And you're going to look her in the eyes. You're going to say, hi, grandma, I love you. And they're going to be like, yeah, let's practice that now, okay? Hi, grandma, that's right. And we just kind of rehearse that along a little bit. And we hop out of the car and I run up. And it's just like clockwork. Hi, grandma, I love you. And then grandma looks at, man, there's, I don't know about you guys, but these kids are awesome. What do you believe? What are you saying? What are you doing? Because the reality is this, guys. Less is more. Please don't hear what I just said as a power of positive thinking speech. Because the things that you need to speak are that God is in control. The things that you need to believe are that this is not your battle. The things that you need to lean into are the things of God being God, and He is the mighty one. And we're going to rest in that. We're going to live in that. We're going to move in that. And so we're going to sing one last song tonight, and I'm going to send you guys out with an uncomfortable two things in your lap that you need to let fight. Maybe just even in this last song. You just say, you know what? It's time for me to start speaking what I believe and to start leaning into what I'm speaking. And so with that, let's stand and I'll pray. God, this is a night where a lot of us are sick of being sick of stuff. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. And as I look into the mirror and as we look into our own life, there's a lot of things there that are giants that we just are so tired of. They've talked a lot of trash to us. And Father, may we be people tonight that really begin to live this out so that there's a reputation among this place, that we are a place that is where the storm is, not a place that just rides it out. It's your storm. Thank you for being a God that's big, that cares about us, that recognizes our enemies, and is ready to step in on our behalf. That is your nature. And we believe it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.